So we're going to talk about the Australian government, because they've basically just banned a whole slew of apps and social media platforms for under 16s. Many of them were able to have access to these apps at 13, and the new law has basically pushed that. So now anyone up to 16 cannot have access to Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, all these sorts of apps. We'll go into it. But I would like to start by talking about my childhood. Because, you see, I feel quite grateful in many ways that I was born right at the end of 96. And I was probably the last generation of Western school child to just really go
to school. I thought there was a more of a gap between our ages than that. I didn't realize that you were only a few months younger than me.
Yes.
Fair play.
The baby face.
It's the baby face and your general sunny, cheery demeanor. I thought you were younger than you are.
Oh, well. He's all right. Don't know what to do with that information, but that's okay.
Well, clearly you've not become as jaded and cynical as some.
No, I just ignore them.
That's good.
But all this to say, you know, and it was a wonderful school experience, actually, and I can't really begin to, well, I have, you know, obviously younger people that I know who go to school now, and the social media stuff does add a lot of stress to their lives, because all of a sudden you're not just competing with the other girls at school or the other guys in terms of who's the most talented, who's the coolest, but you're also looking at the array of people on social media across the world as well. And when you're very, very young, of course, you can have very low self-esteem. And so there are notable problems with social media in this modern age, and obviously it sounds cliche, but life was simpler before it all came along.
Yeah, you're part of the ultra rare zillennial generation.
I am,
like me.
Yes. A real word. It's just,
it is a real word. AA says the zennials are the greatest generation to any ever live. He's wrong. It's the zillennials, those who were born around 95 through to 97, mm-hmm. were the younger part of their childhoods. They were free from the internet and social media. And then around their mid-teens, the internet begins to become a much more important thing. Sounds like it was the same for you.
Building tree houses, playing video games.
Building tree houses.
And bows and arrows. We had a great time.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah, my childhood
sounds bougie, mate.
As a 2001 person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's the mid-2010s where a lot of people just started getting social media addictions. Mm. And then after that, it just worsened.
Although I will say, when I was like 11, 12, I started watching a lot of stuff on YouTube, primarily Nostalgia Critic.
Oh, yeah.
Angry Video Game Nerd, Nostalgia Critic, some PewDiePie.
Internet Golden.
Would it have been PewDiePie? No, it wouldn't have been PewDiePie. PewDiePie would have been when I was like maybe 15, 16 years old. But yeah, there was some Golden Age stuff right here.
And so what was the thing that got all of this moving in the first place that led the Australian government to do this?
Well, Instagram reels.
Well, if we talk about
radicalizing Instagram reels.
Hyperboyant.
The Australian government proved with how draconian it got during lockdowns that they do not care about the mental well-being of children.
This is absolutely true. Yes, and we'll definitely.
Yeah, sorry, don't want to preempt you too much.
That's all right. No, it's okay. But from this Guardian article, it says in early 2024, the South Australian Premier's wife put down the book she had been reading. It was Jonathan Haidt's The Anxious Generation. And Peter Milinauskas later recounted, she said to me, "You better bloody well do something about this." And then we got to work. So his wife read the book, thought, well, we better do something about that, hadn't we, dear? And from there, these pieces got moving. Now, obviously, there was a whole question of whether or not this was going to be implemented state by state, but they decided to have a general federal piece of legislation across the board so it affects all Australians equally and they can all share out on the media platforms. And if I just go to Jonathan Haidt here as well, you can see him being very, very happy that this has taken place. He praises the Premier of South Australia and the current Prime Minister as well, who took it nationally. He says the key, as both men have emphasised, is that we all want kids to have fun, exciting childhoods, doing things with friends in the real world. That's a childhood we older people remember fondly. That's a childhood that Gen Z have seen only in movies and they long for. I urge Australian parents to make this transition vacation, one that their kids will look back on fondly as a summer when their lives opened up, the summer when they were given more freedom and they began to have more unsupervised fun and adventure together. They began to have childhoods worth remembering. So thank you, Australia.
I mean, personally, I think what might materially improve the lives of Australian children as they grow up is if you stop trying to replace them.
Well, I think that would matter too.
First and foremost, more than anything else. So again, I find it very hard to take these government policies seriously without a heavy dose of cynicism. And I actually really like some of Jonathan Haidt's work. Yeah, I've not read The Anxious Generation. I'm sure that he wrote it with the best of intentions. But this is something I actually discussed about with Josh Neal in an interview about his book Intolerant Interpretations a few weeks ago, where he actually critiqued part of Jonathan Haidt's work that was produced in the Righteous Mind in a way that I hadn't seen before. It's not often that you see many critiques of Jonathan Haidt's work, especially that particular book. But one of the ways that Jonathan Haidt's work can be used is it can be co-opted by governments for the sake of this kind of very, very sweeping legislation. And they can use it for the sake of saying that they're trying to target political division, that they're trying to prevent anxiety and difficulty in raising children and screen addiction. I do genuinely think that screen addiction is a big problem. Yes. I'm not saying that this sort of stuff doesn't cause huge problems for young people. It absolutely does, but it can be used for these modern multicultural governments for social engineering purposes.
Absolutely.
What this actually does for young people who now more than ever through social media have access to a wide range of dissident voices and they're able to get their news and understanding of the world from a wide variety of places outside of the mainstream, from alternative media, it's closing those avenues off for them to make sure that the only idea of the world that these kids are going to get is going to be coming from the schools and from the mainstream and the government media. That's what this is actually doing. That's what this would actually be for, from what I can see.
Well, all of the slides here on in are just going to vindicate your entire position.
Thank you.
So you always portray it as like a convenience, like with digital ID. Are we doing this so things will be more convenient? We're doing this because we generally care about your children when it's all about government control.
Yeah, but what's more as well, it's quite pernicious because it simultaneously preys on a genuine concern. But does it for the wrong reason. And I'll just read, you can see here there was a petition in Australia signed by over 50,000 people. And one parent said, it quickly overtook all my daughter's spare time. She was messaging in bed, calling late, making calls till midnight. And this was when she was in primary school. And someone else said, it's horrifying and we need additional safeguards to protect our kids. And talk about raising the age. And there were other testimonies and parents speaking as well on this petition who were obviously talking about cyberbullying and online and self-harm and that being encouraged.
I mean, cyberbullying has been going on for years. I remember getting the cyberbullying videotape played to us in school when I was growing up.
Yeah, of course.
Just like an average Xbox Live experience. Right. But like, I'm confused because it's the parents that give their children the phone.
This is exactly what I was about to say, yes.
Well, before we go straight into that, it's only the parents' responsibility, and they do hold a huge amount of the responsibility to responsibly limit screen time for their children and to put the restrictions that they want onto their children's phones, because they do have the ability to do that. But there, one thing that I have always heard from parents when I've brought it up with them is that there is a huge amount of pressure from peers of the students that unless all of the parents get together and agree not to do this and to restrict all of the children's phone access, even just during school hours, for instance, then if you are the one kid on the playground, if you are the one kid in class who doesn't have a phone, who doesn't have an iPad, who doesn't have access to all of these social media, it does other you.
Yes.
And it isolates and separates you out. Yeah. Now, how much you want to say that that should be taken into account with all of this and whether parents should just decide, well, I'm willing to make that decision for my kids anyway, that's one thing, but it does introduce some difficulty with this,
undoubtedly. And what's more as well, it also, you know, it comes back to that whole the libertarian argument of, well, does the government really have... Well, I mean, for example, if I was, you know, leading a government in the United Kingdom, I would have no moral scruples about just banning OnlyFans, for example. Yeah. So I'm not, in principle, averse to government intervention on what, you know, adult, you know, children or even adults can just see online, right? I think there are certain moral standards of we just shouldn't allow a certain level of degeneracy these platforms.
There are degenerating vices
that
people can have far, far, far too much access to. And I mean, with something like OnlyFans, not only the proliferation of pornography in general across society is something wholly unheard of throughout all of history.
Yeah.
But then the access for young girls coming straight out of their teens, having the option to immediately try and make easy money by whoring themselves out online, that is not an option that these girls should have easy access to. Because it does, this is something that some people get right about this, we've got to be factual, it does remove a lot of the negative consequences of actually going out on the street, because it massively separates you from the people you're interacting with. So there's less danger involved. You're not going to get kidnapped by some guy if you're doing that. So it's even more encouragement for these girls who otherwise should be trying to get a job or trying to go into education or preferably settling down with boyfriends and husbands and starting a family.
Absolutely. And so, as you can see, there is evidence of just Australian parents and, you know, people from the boomer generation. And unlike the previous segment, I don't in this case say that pejoratively, who obviously have genuine concerns about the world that their children are being brought up in. But of course, movements generally don't just win off the back of Australian parents being a little bit irked about something and worried about something. Generally, these sorts of things require elite backing. And that's where we get to Rupert Murdoch.
News Corp Australia is launching a new national campaign aimed at protecting young Australians from the dangers of social media. The Let Them Be Kids campaign is calling on the federal government to increase the age children can access social media platforms to 16. Child advocates and health professionals are supporting the push. Psychologists believe excessive social media usage is worsening the youth mental health crisis. Suicide and self-harm rates in people aged under 19 have increased since children began using social media. Experts claim it's also responsible for an increase in eating disorders, loneliness, sleep deprivation, as well as a reduction in social skills.
And so the large push, and there has been a tremendous amount of lobbying over this past year and a half by Rupert Murdoch and News Corp. As you can see, this has been brought out on Sky News Australia, which is, of course, his.
So this is Rupert Murdoch trying to re-monopolise the information economy.
Yes. So you see, what happened was back in 2021, there was a law passed in the Australian government called the News Media Bargaining Code. And basically, this law basically meant that Australian big tech platforms had to pay local newspapers and local news organisations to obviously have those stories on the platform and have the news on the platform. So essentially, this created a strange relationship where you were paying big tech, were paying their rivals, the legacy media.
It was government propping up.
Yes, of an old system that was becoming outdated.
Oh, wow.
And couldn't exist in the modern age. And so the government have intervened with this, and obviously News Corp, being Australia's largest newspaper publisher, obviously decided that the perfect moment to strike back on all of this was when Meta won't renew its commercial deals with Australian news media.
Which was March of last year.
Right. And so, and that perfectly coincides, if you look at the date on this particular video, this basically came out in May of last year. So this all got moving very, very quickly, and it was very naked to see what the intentions was behind it. It's also worth speculating on as well that Rupert Murdoch, through Fox Corp in the United States, may well be taking some shares or having some investment in TikTok and obviously its acquisition from the Chinese. But that
the US government handed over to Oracle and Larry Ellison to manage their...
And that whole cabal of Bond villains.
Yeah.
But
he really does look like a Bond villain, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're at the point where actually... Murdoch will only have investment in the US side of it. So if TikTok gets banned for under 16-year-olds in Australia, mm-hmm. that doesn't actually affect him mm-hmm. in any way. It perfectly protects him whilst also dealing a counter blow to the new, you know, digital corporations. And so you can see here this, and I just pulled this up because it was just such a remarkable headline, which is legal threat of social media given final doom scrolling in Australia. You get your final doom scroll if you're 15 before this new law comes in. It's all very...
Yeah, mum and dad can keep doom scrolling all they want.
Yeah, absolutely. But this really is...
Also, what if you just... What if you just lie? Like, what are the actual... What are the actual provisions?
I'm going to put a pin on that.
Oh, okay.
Because we're coming to it now.
Because I remember YouTube asking me for age verification when it was like, oh, you've got to be 18 or older to watch PewDiePie play Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, good job, I'm 34 years old.
Doing the Four Lions, like, can't tell bottles of bleach, please.
That was a joke, YouTube. I would never, ever do anything like that.
And so Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitch, Kick, X, YouTube, and Reddit are among those to be banned.
Well, Reddit's not all
a good
bad.
Thing.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's not all doom and gloom, you see, with fines of almost $50 million for failing to take action to remove under-16s from their platforms. So again, the power is on the media platforms to actually police their own platforms and basically search for under-16s. But the problem is, this is really going to struggle to work. Now, we'll just listen to the Prime Minister say what he has to say about all this.
This is the day when Australian families are taking back power from these big tech companies, and they're asserting the right of kids to be kids and for parents to have greater peace of mind.
Now, I will just say, to come back to your point, Harry, these two things are in contradiction. We want to bring back freedom and, you know, a sense of childhood for kids, while simultaneously always advocating for policies that have only ever resulted in the material degradation mm-hmm. of their towns and cities and their alienation within their own communities. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, okay, well, for the boomers, that would have been all great. Go out into the streets. I hope you don't come back until 11. You're perfectly safe out there. Go and have a good time. You couldn't do that these days. No. There's no way. Things have changed far too much.
Perhaps the Australian government is trying to find a sneaky backdoor way of forcing the children into forming youth ethnic gangs. Mm. So that they can have like 13, 14, 15-year-olds warring on the streets along racial divisions. That's what they want. Australian government provokes race war among 12-year-olds? Yeah. Question mark.
And to come back to what you come back to what you were saying about the ideological lines of it as well. Of course, there are other than, of course, Murdoch's business reasons. For doing this, right? There is also, as you say, the ideological reasons, which is that most of the dissident politics, the sort of, you know, like newer truth of the Zoomer generation and where they're getting their news. I mean, let's not forget as well, one of the chief reasons that the United States government obviously decided to take TikTok off of China was because of all the pro-Palestinian stuff on there. And they saw that as a threat to geopolitical interests with Israel and the Middle East, right? This is all very clear to us. It's
all on the public record as well. Like, they were very clear that that's what it was about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't about protecting children from getting TikTok brain rot.
No, it's not about how long your child is spending on their phone. It's about what they're seeing, what they're looking at for those 2 hours on their phone, which is exactly why Blue Sky is exempt from this ban.
Well, when I talk to Zoomers younger than me, who are to the white, and I ask them, how did you get into politics? They always say to me, I don't read or watch any YouTubers or read any books. I just watch Instagram reels. Mm. So it does have an effect. Yeah. It makes sense why they're trying
to... I'll tell you what, there's some...
Schizo brain rot edits are radicalising the youth. It is true. Yeah. What they've done, and especially you can tell because they're allowing Blue Sky... In Australia, the big problem is going to be that they're going to see some edit of Joel Davis, who's just been unfairly arrested and put in prison, or Thomas Sowell, doing something, and then the kids are going to go, wow, that's really cool. I should get involved in right-wing politics. You're right, they are replacing us. I should get involved in this. This guy's making some good points. They are deathly afraid of that, and so this is their countermeasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, as you can see, again, it's not all doom and gloom. They will still have access to Lego play.
Discord needs to be off that list.
Yeah, Discord absolutely needs to be off that list. Discord, for the sake of consistency.
Yeah, for the sake of consistency, you can't get radicalized on Twitter or Instagram reels, but you can get groomed into tuning out on Discord.
Yeah.
Seriously?
It's just full of obvious ideological, hypocritical, you know, points in it. And so we have World Watches as 1 million social media accounts go dark. It's just Armageddon in Australia. And then we get
all of my strongest Twitter soldiers have gone because they were all just like 14-year-old Australian boys. No,
right. But then, exactly as we saw when the Online Safety Act came in, you know, here in the United Kingdom as well, all you see is an uptick in VPNs. All you see, you know, and there are some truly funny stories: dog photos, VPNs, fake IDs, how Australian teens are beating the social media ban. Day one. Ladies and gentlemen, day one.
Yeah, I was going to ask how they're actually enforcing it. Are they having to do some kind of facial recognition age thing?
Yes.
Well, what if your parents are actually happy with you doom scrolling because you have the mental fortitude to be able to manage and deal with it? Because some kids are intelligent and mature enough to be able to handle it without just turning them into an asocial spurg. Mm. And so your dad just sets you up an account under his email address,
right,
and then just like does the facial thing for you. Mm. Do you have to do the facial recognition every single time, or is it a one-time thing?
Says 13-year-old Isabel told the BBC that it took her less than 5 minutes to bypass the ban. A Snapchat notification warned her she would be removed unless she could prove that she was over 16, but she said she used a photo of her mother to trick the app's age checks.
You can just have a photo of your mum. Oh my God.
Some have found inventive ways to bypass the verification process. A user reportedly uploaded a photo of a golden retriever to gain access.
Remember, guys, AI is the future. It's not a bubble. Invest now.
Experts also warn that teens can exploit other loopholes. I'm not giving advice, such as VPNs, fake IDs, and it said that even some of them were able to trick the verification process, like at the age of 12 or 13, simply by putting fake eyelashes and a bit of makeup on. Right.
12-year-olds confirmed smarter than the Australian government.
What an industrious generation we have on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. But the obvious question to all of this is, okay, well, this is Australia for the foreseeable future. So, you know, how long until the rest of the West rolls all of this out as well? Now,
well, I mean, Liz has already mentioned digital IDs within the UK.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's going to be the measures for doing it over here.
Yes.
And I can't help but feel like the digital IDs are going to be a bit more thorough, because the Australian government, frankly, seem to have half-assed this one.
They have really half-assed this one. Seems to be just sort of the procedure of all establishments across the West.
Few too many VB long necks.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you are in Australia, dear friends, take heart. I'm sure it seems like there are many ways to avoid all of this. And what's more as well, even though I do share the concerns of many parents about the toxic and corrosive effect of social media on their children, this is not being done for the reasons that you want it to be done for, ultimately. And so I would just personally, you know, advocate for taking this into your own hands. If you don't like your child spending all this amount of time on their phone, don't let them have the phone. If you don't like what they're seeing, you need to be personally in charge of that. This is not me just being ideologically libertarian. I'm just simply looking at this as the safest way for you to look after your child and make sure that they get the best upbringing that you as a parent can provide for them.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think what the choice is, do you take those decisions and that responsibility into your own hands, or do you leave it to the government? And with this government in charge that has the track record that it does in Australia, do you want them to have that decision? Do you want them to have that responsibility? I personally wouldn't.
Yeah.
If you would like to watch the full uncut version that is also uncensored, head on over to lotuseaters.com to find out more.